Anybody running on empty? Yes, no. You never run out of God's love, do you? Okay, so you're never running on empty, are you? But sometimes in this physical sense, we could feel like we're running out of things, right? Some days in a physical way, there are things seem to think that there's like not enough time to do all the things that you want to do. Not enough money, not enough whatever. There seems to be not enough. Doesn't there from time to time, right? That's in a physical sense. But when we know that in the physical sense, what do we know about the spiritual sense of that? God meets every need we have. According to his riches in glory, every need we have, physical, emotional, and spiritual, God meets every need. Do you believe that this morning? So if you get needy, depend on God. Depend on God. Dog. Depend on God. Okay, very nice. So, how do I know that that's a true statement? Well, I've lived it to a certain degree, well, my entire life and my entire time of pastoring here. I've seen God supply every one of our needs and then some. And I've seen so many miracles, I can't even count them. And you're part of those, aren't you? Each and every person here, those watching, those that have been here before, have all been in the presence of God and God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. And God has done immeasurable things for people and transformational things for people, some of which we call miracles. Because when we can't do it in ourselves, we need to rely on God, right? And then when we can't, God can, always. God always can and God always will. How do I know that? Well, the scriptures are going to tell you that this morning. Very familiar story. Some of you may already know about it. Haven't heard this version yet. John chapter 2 this morning. Known as the wedding at Cana. The wedding at Cana. In the preceding chapter, we read where John tells us that Jesus is the Word of God sent from heaven. Before there was he, Jesus. The Word was became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word was God. That's what John said. And then Jesus called his early disciples in the first chapter, part of the end of the chapter of chapter 1. And one of the people he met was Nathanael. Remember Nathanael? He's the one that said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" That's where Jesus was from. So Jesus meets Nathanael. And Nathanael is from Cana. So evidently, after Jesus met Nathanael, Mary, who also lived in Nazareth, Jesus' mother, was invited to a wedding. So guess where Jesus and his disciples went? To the wedding. It was obviously something important to Mary because, you know, obviously she brought Jesus along and all of his disciples were there as well. So they just joined that wedding. And we're going to pick up the story. The next day, Jesus' mother was a guest at a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother spoke to him about the problem. "They have no more wine. Listen, I know these people. I live in this town. I'm somebody who was important here to bring some good things, and I don't know. Somebody forgot to bring enough wine. And it's going to look really bad. I don't want the people here to be embarrassed that they ran out of wine." "How does that concern you and me?" Jesus asked. "My time is not yet come." What is Jesus' time to come? To be on the cross. To be the sacrificial lamb, to be the one who takes away all the sins of the world, to be the one that brings salvation. He's the Messiah, and he's never performed a miracle before this ever, ever, ever. He's just been raised as a boy, now he's 30 years old, and he's just one of the people at the wedding. Now, we don't see much after that about what transpires between Jesus and his mother. John doesn't write that. But the very next verse says this, "But his mother told the servants, do whatever he asks." So evidently, she's like still putting it on Jesus. He's going to go tell the servants, go into the towns as far as you can go. Go to every winery that you know and pick up as much wine as you possibly can because my mother won't leave me alone. Six stone water pots were standing there. They were used for Jewish ceremonial purposes and held 20 to 30 gallons each of ceremonial water. The ceremonial water was so important to the Jewish people. What it was used for was to wash everybody's hands before they ate. An important tradition, don't you think? Wouldn't you want to be somebody that made sure that no matter before you ate or before you served food to somebody else, that they wash their hands? Evidently, people are still following the scriptures in all the restaurants that you go to, because every time you go to the restroom, it always says all employees must wash their hands before they go back to work. So washing of hands was so important ritualistically to the Jewish people. They needed to be clean in order to eat. Right? That's partially, we understand, for sanitary reasons and health reasons. But see, from a religious point of view, they felt as though if they washed their hands of all the things that were dirty on them, they would be clean. So in other words, if you committed a sin with your hands, let's say, stole something, whatever, you washed your hands and you were clean. And then you went on about your business. That's the Jewish tradition, Old Testament teaching. What is Jesus bringing to the place now in his ministry? New Testament, new teachings. So there's six water pots. Now think about this. They're 20 to 30 gallons each. Pretty good size water pots, right? Evidently, there were so many people that were there to in need of washing their hands. They had a lot of those. They were huge pots going to be used, correct? All right. Then Jesus says, fill the jars with water. What kind of water are they going to fill the jars with? No. Washing your hands water. Just water. Not drinking water. These servants don't know what Jesus is going to do. Maybe they're thinking, okay, while the disciples are out buying the wine, we're going to have everybody rewash their hands so that they can drink the wine. Don't know. All I know is this. Those pots were empty, weren't they? How else could they be filled? They couldn't be. They're stone pots. They're not earthenware. They were cut out of the earth. They're made of stone from rock, solid rock. And then they pour water into that, right? All right, so get the picture. Now we're going to see something happen here. When the jars had been filled to the brim, Jesus said, dip some and take it to the master of ceremonies. So they followed his instructions. What did they run out of? Wine. What does Jesus have the servants put into those water pots? Water. Okay, so they're going to now get water to drink instead of wine. And just in case you didn't know this, back in biblical times, people that were served wine, it was three parts water, one part wine, because wine was so expensive. It was diluted. So maybe the servants thought, okay, we're going to put the water in first. The disciples all ran out to buy wine. And when they get back, they're going to pour the wine into the pots, right? And now you're going to have wine to drink, diluted wine. Make perfect sense? If you're watching this as one of the servants, except for there's a missing piece. They filled the water up to the brim. Is there any room for anybody to pour in wine? So what is Jesus showing first and foremost to those servants? Well, he's showing them that he's not sent the disciples for wine. That was just my take on that. Nobody's bringing any wine from anywhere. Do you notice that they didn't put any grapes in the water? Because what does it take to make wine? Grapes. And it takes maybe a week, about 7 days from what I understand. It takes about a week for wine to be made. So we need grapes. We need grape mashers. And we need to put the grapes inside of the pots, right? So what do you suppose the servants are thinking? Okay, they ran out of wine, Jesus. You know, we just put water, like we grabbed water and put it in here. We took the garden hose and poured it all in the air. Do you know they ran out of wine? Are you sure? Do you not understand what they ran out of here? Let me put it this way. When something's missing in your life, how many times does God do things in the most unusual way and you go, well, God, don't you know I need a job? Well, don't you know I need money? Why are you telling me to go thus and thus and go to that place and talk to this person? I need a resume. Do we not do that in the natural very often, right? Do we not try to solve our own problems, I guess is what I'm saying. And do you sometimes wonder what the heck is God up to anyway? We need wine, Jesus, not water. You're confused. I can just imagine his mother going, I told him we needed wine. I told him we needed wine. What's he doing with water? He's putting water in there. Oh, my God. Do you ever wonder what God is up to sometimes? Do you ever wonder, like, why did he tell me to do that? Doesn't he understand what we need here? Doesn't he understand we need money to solve our problems? And he's giving me these ideas? What am I going to do with an idea? When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine. Okay, water, no grapes, equals wine. One minute, no. Water, no grapes, no 7 days, equals what happened? What happened? Do you know how long it took God to make the earth? 6 days, right? How many pots were there? Oh, before the world, there was the Word who created everything in the world. What is the first miracle Jesus is performing? Creation. Instantaneous creation. Isn't that pretty cool? God can take anything God wants, even you, even me, and turn it into something beautiful and wonderful. Even though we don't have it all together inside, even though inside of us, some of us are empty, even though some of us don't have the skills, the abilities, or the qualities, even though we don't have anything to offer God, we're just this stone pot standing there empty. And God goes, let me pour my water into you. Remember in John 4 when the Samaritan woman came up and she got what? Living water, and it's a perpetual spring, right? Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet with water because the rest of them would be cleansed, how? Through his death on the cross, right? Did God use people that were imperfect? Yes. Where some of them have a heart of stone? Yes, sometimes. Did some people there think they had it all together and how they were going to solve the problem? And God said, no, that's not the way I'm going to solve it at all. Or maybe it's this. Maybe some of you think that you need years for God to work on you and change you from water into wine. Scripturally, not so. The instant that God pours his spirit within you, you become new wine, fresh wine, full of joy, because joy is represented as wine in the Bible throughout the scriptures and celebration. That's why they needed it at the wedding to celebrate, right? They celebrated it with wine, and Jesus is the wine of the new covenant, the Holy Spirit. And each and every one of you, when you are filled by the Spirit of God, when his water pours into you, when do you change? Do you have to have grapes poured into you? Do you have to have any other outside means help you? just the Spirit of God within you. And everything changes. And what happens with that wine? Next, he says to the servants, take the wine, bring it to the master of ceremonies, and then give it to all the people in the crowd so that they can have joy too, and have peace too, and have salvation too. God can take something out of nothing and turn it into something spectacular. Can he? Can't he? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, he can. Yes, he can. See, all any of us ever need when you are running on empty, emotionally or otherwise, all you got to do is empty out. Let it go. You stop trying to figure it out, but empty out everything that's bothering you. Everything that you say to God, this is what I need, God. I need peace of mind. I need an answer. I need guidance. I need direction. I just need your help, God. And you pour that out and you say, I have no more, whatever it is. You understand what I'm saying? In this particular case, it was only wine they ran out of, something simple to replace. Just take water, put it in a bucket, boom, you got wine. Why? 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 Because Jesus stepped in. And he said to this, and his mother said to the servants, do whatever he asks. Just think about that. If we could be the kind of people in the kind of church that just does whatever God asks us to do in any given moment, even when it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Instead of arguing with God and saying, well, look, Jesus, I know you're not really a winemaker. I know your father was a carpenter. There's a wine person here that owns some vineyards. Why don't we go ask that person how to make wine? I got a friend who knows, they've got some money and we could get some people to bring little buckets of wine. Oh, you know what? You know, wine's not so good for people anyway. Why don't we just give them milk? There's a farmer. He's got a bunch of cows. We can go over there. See, we have got to stop in all of our lives trying to figure things out about how to do things. When you run out of whatever it is that you need, whatever God says to you to do, you just do it. You don't hear the servant saying to Jesus, we need that water for ceremonial purposes. We can't use those water pots. We'll have to go buy something different. They did whatever he asked. That's our role always, to do whatever God asks us to do. If you see somebody hungry, you feed them. Where do you get the food? Don't know. All I know is I got a hungry person sitting in front of me. What do I give them? Food. Somebody's hungry in a spiritual way. Someone needs encouragement. Someone's down and out. Someone's feeling alone. And you know that that's something that they're running out of. What do you do? Hey, Jesus, there's this person I know who needs a healing. Do whatever I ask you to do. That's what Jesus says in response to that. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was Jesus' first display of his glory, and his disciples believed in him right then and there. Wouldn't you think so? Wouldn't you think that people would believe watching that happen? I have a belief that the reason God performs so many miracles in all of our lives is so that you and others will believe in God's power. And God's care, God's sustenance, God's ability to do whatever is impossible for you to do. When people are running out of stuff, whatever stuff is, and I think it's more emotional or spiritual than anything else. Physical needs sometimes are easier to meet, aren't they? Spiritual and emotional ones? What's it going to take? us going to God and Jesus Christ and saying, person over here, they're empty right now. Fill them up, Jesus. And what's going to happen? He may send you and say, you go fill them up. You go bring them who I am. Because what lives inside of us, the power of Christ, yes, yes, yes. So listen, you water pots. First and foremost, if you are sitting there empty, or you are sitting there in need, or you are sitting there not realizing before that God could use you, and maybe you were used for another purpose in another life sometime before now, and you want to change and grow, when can that happen? Instantaneously, can it? Because we're going to call upon the power of God. And God's going to say to us, those of us that minister to you through especially communion, there's some grape juice over here that used to be water. And there's the bread of life, Jesus Christ himself in the flesh, brought to life. Because God knows we need food for our heart and our soul. And then we're directed by God to do whatever God asks. We serve that to you, just like those servants took the cup of that wine to the master of ceremonies and then spread it amongst all the people. That's essentially what communion is. The thing that we do is pray. We say all kinds of things. Some things that make no absolute sense to you whatsoever. But you change, don't you? God touches you. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need in any given moment. And so my prayer this morning is twofold. One, that you'll stop trying to do things on your own. When you run out of something or somebody else runs out of something, run to Jesus first. Tell him, they just ran out of hope. And Jesus says, go bring them me. You bring them hope. Bring them love. Bring them peace. Bring them the word of God that tells them how much God loves them. We will never run out of love, will we? No. Where does love live? All of you, water pots. Your role now is to share that love with others. Your mission on this planet is to share that with others. See, 30 gallons times six, that's a lot of water and a lot of wine. More than enough to go around, wasn't it? What's inside of each and every one of you? A lot of Holy Spirit and a lot of love. More than enough to go around. You just have to share it and not keep it to yourself. Our world is running on empty, in need of a lot of love, a lot of prayer, a lot of peace. What's going to bring that love and peace and joy? Only God himself. But through how and through who? All of you, great servants of God. Do whatever God asks you to do so that no one else runs out of wine again. Amen. Amen.